Good morning. If there's ever a time that I know I put it on comment out there the other day that I wish I knew how to do these PowerPoints like everybody knows, because it'd be a real help today. But I'll go ahead and do things the old-fashioned way. It's amazing how there's little things around us every day that can make us think. The more we put ourselves into the Word of God, the more things remind us of His Word. There's a sign at one of my fairways that hangs up in the break area for the meat department. And it's in great big letters and a big sign that says, "Don't be a mama's boy. Clean up after yourself." Yeah, and at this point I have a slide with Foghorn Leghorn. I say I resemble that remark. When I was growing up, my mom stayed at home with us rather than having a job outside of the home. While we were taught to work hard, she did a lot of cleaning up after all of us boys, Dad included. And while I was thankful for all the things that she did for us, I didn't think a whole lot about it a lot of the times or realize everything that she did. And then eventually I grew up old enough to be on my own, and I decided to get married. I decided to get married just to my wife, who worked outside of the home. And if you asked Teresa, she would say that I was a mama's boy. I used to throw dishes in the sink, and when I was growing up, they'd just all get cleaned. And I had to learn that if I had a wife that worked outside of the house, that I need to clean up after myself a little bit more than what I was doing. One of the things that she complained about most was milk in the bottom of the glass and getting dried on the bottom of the milk glass. So I got pretty good about getting that fixed. But anyway, I needed to dig in and pull my weight. And I still have times when I let up and am not as helpful as I should be, and because my priorities aren't always the same as what my wife thinks that they should be. And sometimes that gets shown in our children as they turn around and have things that they leave around that they could be cleaning up, and she winds up having all of it to do. So, and what happens when that happens? She feels disrespected when I don't clean like she wants me to. And I can understand why. She works a lot of hours outside of the house to come home and work inside the house. What does working hard do? It shows you respect the other person in that relationship, and you want that relationship to continue. What does working hard at the church do? It shows you respect God and Christ, and that you want that relationship to continue. It shows that you want to continue to strengthen yourself and your relationship with God. Likewise, when we don't prepare ourselves for the things that we're on the program for, we show disrespect to Him and to everybody that has shown up. We weaken ourselves, letting other things take precedence in our lives that for some reason is more important than being here. What does it show about our love and passion for God when we have an open meeting, and the floor is opened up to speak, and all of us sit in our pews waiting for somebody else to get up. Enthusiasm for God? We need to be prepared to show our love for God. It's an opportunity. I was always told while I was in the house, and after I'd been baptized and there was an open meeting, I had to have some, I was required to have something. Whether I went up and read or whether I led a song, I was required by my dad to do something, which was good for me. There's a reason he did that. Lately, I've been listening a lot. As some of you know, on Saturday night, I drive down to Kansas City with a trailer and drop it off, and I bring one back, and then I drive to Waterloo, and I bring an empty one back, and then I come to church. But on those rides, it gives, with the modern technology, it gives me a chance to listen to talks over the phone. And the ones that I've been concentrating a lot on lately is the ones that were given at Eminence about the seven churches of Asia and how they were viewed by God and the message that was being conveyed to them about their service to Him. Now, mind you, this is only a few decades after Christ was here and apostles, some of them were still alive, or shortly passed on. I'm not going to list all of them, but Sardis was known as the dead church. They were told they were dead. Laodicea was known as the lukewarm church, and it was the one that nothing was said good about. They were just kind of there. They weren't hot for God. They weren't cold for Him either, but they're just right in the middle. He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. As it is, I'd spew you out of my mouth. You disgust me. Ephesus lost its first love. Thyatira tolerated sin in their midst. If so soon after Christ's life, churches had fallen away into this, how are we doing keeping Christ's church alive? What would He have to say about us almost 2,000 years later? Iowa's football team has a saying, some of the players have a saying, leave the jersey in a better place, meaning strive to be better than the last player that wore it. Do we strive to leave the church in a better place than we received the word in growing up? I think we do, before I sound too negative, I think we do a pretty good job of sticking to the scripture and trying to do what the Bible says at our church. I think we find that very important, and we do a good job of trying to keep the bad things out, which one of the churches that was spoken to in Revelations did not do. We teach what the scriptures tell us to teach, and we don't waver away from it, and we don't accept terrible things to go on. The last time I gave a similar talk about making adjustments, after services I got kind of shot down with some discouragement by some comments that were made to me, and I kind of backed off, and I was surprised to get the response that I got. But this time I'm ready for it, and I want to carry through it regardless if I have to do it by myself. I want Christ Church in a better place. Colossians 3, chapter 20, or verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We are referred to a time and time again as sheep in the Bible. And I think it is a worthy comparison, and I think we've all made this assessment throughout the years, I think. When we're together, we are safer. But when we are scattered, it's easy for the world to pick off the weak. How do we stop it? Why are we separated? Why are we separated from each other so much? I don't know how much we associate with each other outside of this building, but we need to try to strive to be around each other more and to do more in the church. Study, study, study. When Christ associated with sinners or people in the world, what was his purpose in doing that? To bring them in. Not because they were more fun to be with than the Christians that he knew. Sometimes when I've raised my kids and I ask them to go talk to a certain person, I have been shocked to realize that even though that they were a teenager, they didn't even know who that person was by name. Even though they sat two pews away from them for 10 or 15 years. I think I knew everybody in the church by name and face at that age. Not that I'm trying to say I'm any better than they are. I've got weaknesses too, but how are we as a unit? How do we function? In 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21, it talks about, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother or sister. How can we love somebody when we don't even try to know them or talk to them? Shouldn't we want to know the people that we're wanting to spend eternity with? Who do you know better? Those that you don't want to spend with in eternity, or the ones that you do want to spend with in eternity? The answer might be telling us something. I've tried to push myself lately to do things that I used to not do because I was afraid of it in church. And I want to try to be able to help us get closer and to love each other the way God and Christ want from us. I think that's what we need. We need to be close to each other. Apparently, last weekend at the Memorial Day meeting, John Morris gave a similar talk on this same subject called bridging the generational gaps. So maybe this is something that other congregations look at as something that needs to be addressed as well, and not just here. My idea is called God's House, is what I'm going to call it. God wants us to love each other, and He wants us to be connected to each other. But just from my own view, I don't know that it's happening as much as it could. We have a valuable commodity in our church right now with young people. And they need to be connected to us more than that they're connected to the world. They need to want to come to us rather than go ask their friends who don't have any inkling of God or any idea of wanting to serve God in their lives. They need somebody to talk to that has the same goals. I used to walk up the hill most every day to see my grandparents growing up, and I learned a lot just by visiting my grandma and talking with her and from my grandpa. And I am always going to look back and treasure those times. We can learn a lot from those that are older than us. We can't trick ourselves into thinking, man, those older than us don't know what it's like to grow up in our shoes these days. Things are so much different now than what they were when my parents were even growing up. They don't know what we're dealing with. We're told in the Bible that there's nothing new under the sun. Parents grew up with a lot of the same things that teenagers grew up with today, whether or not there was instant communication and things like that. We still had temptations, and we still had friends that could pull us away and things like that. One of the things that I want this group first to do is maybe like two things a month to start and see how those things go. Writing cards might be something that is a good idea. I know that some of the classes do that with the kids that are in the classes. But I'm more interested in trying to get them to help other people in our congregation. There are people here that can't do things that they used to be able to do. And if we're able to set up opportunities like that, Kelly had one recently that he set up, helping up cleaning up around the church and going out to Connie and Keith and visiting with them, and that was a good thing. Also, Mark and Ginger have started doing the scripture readings that have been going on over Facebook, and those are a good thing for us to be able to keep up and read different scriptures daily. I think there's an opportunity for us to help others out there, and not just that we go thinking that, well, that person's physical family is going to be there to help them out and they'll get it taken care of. We need to try to do more. I need to try to do more. There's an unlimited amount that we can advance our congregation and be in doing things that make us each closer to each other and know little things about each other. How many of us know 10 people in this church and could list 4 or 5 things about that person? Some of us might be able to, but a lot of us probably wouldn't be able to. We read about how in the Bible we're supposed to love each other. But how much of what we do shows that we practice that love? The first part,
help.
Help out. In James, the second chapter, if we go there, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? Also, so also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have works, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the devil, even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. And also we go to Matthew 5 and 6. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be comforted. There are many things that young people can do in the church that can bring them closer to us, and we can teach them to serve, and we can connect. We need to connect. We need to be helpful in teaching them and making them feel valuable in the church, like they have a part here. If we go over to Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to them, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven. And therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. Then he began to settle, and one was brought him, one that owed 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay me what you owe me. So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him into prison till he could pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you who do not forgive your brother from their heart. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We need to be understanding of one another. And get to know each other and what each other is going through, so we can better help each other. If we go to Romans 15, 1 through 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days is written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Like I was saying, we need to be understanding of each other and not talk about each other behind each other's backs or whisper things. Ask if you can help. Ask to just understand a little bit better. Pray for a person rather than worthless talks that doesn't profit anything except for bad feelings and things like that. And last, to finish out the word house, we got to serve each other. Galatians 5 and 3 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve each other." We're called to serve each other. And in that, we're showing our love toward each other. Romans 12:1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, we're showing our worship to God by serving each other and doing things for each other, advancing our concern and our understanding toward each other. Do we strive to leave the church in a better place when we leave? Are we leaving a mark? Or are we just leaving a temporary imprint on the seat cushion? Are we taking initiative? Or just waiting to see what someone else has to offer? How are we making the congregation better? What if he asked you on the judgment day, "What did you do for my church?" Are you doing enough? Are you doing anything? Are you pushing yourself to be more of a servant? If you do have any suggestions to be made with getting our young people more involved in helping each other, or things that you know of that could be done to help other people, please let me know. And if you haven't been pulling your weight, and you realize it, and you want to start getting involved, make that initiative, and don't wait. Do something about it. Have you been waiting to accept Christ as your Savior? Now is the best time. Have you been putting things off and not doing things the way God wants you to, and you need our help? You have an opportunity to do that as we stand and sing the invitation song.